to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, Inc. Radio, obviously just like Inc. Magazine, only kind of live. Well, it is live because I'm live and you're listening right now. So there you have it. So here's what happened to me this week. I got yelled at by a complete insane person. Well, at least in that moment, they were not being sane because they wouldn't have yelled at me because I didn't do anything wrong. Somebody else did. But they were so angry and completely out of their mind that they just started yelling and freaking out. And I was like, OMG. I thought, what am I going to do? I thought, I better just stay calm because I am not guilty of what I'm being accused of, at least in the way they're accusing it. Sure, things happen, but there's a rational explanation for things that happen. And so instead of them asking me questions, they just started freaking out on me. And I thought, wow, I'm dealing with a crazy person. So my producer, after he heard the story, he says, hey, look at this guy. Dr. Mark Goulston has a brand new book out called Talking to Crazy. And I said, well, we better talk to that guy because I just got yelled at by crazy. Mark is on the line. Can I call you Mark, Dr. Goulston? Is that okay?
You can call me Mark.
Okay, good. Inc. Magazine, by the way, everybody, the magazine for growing companies. And I'll tell you what, if you go crazy and you start flipping out on people, your company will not grow, at least for not very long. So did I do the right thing in staying calm, staying rational? I actually said, look, we're on the same team here. We have the same goal in common. Let's talk about this. Let's figure out where we went wrong, what happened, what we can do to fix it so it doesn't happen again. But, I mean, this was a crazy thing that happened to me. So your book, let's talk about your book, Talking to Crazy. By the way, this man, everybody, is an author of a number of different books. One is Get Out of Your Own Way. Another one, Just Listen. And the third before this Talking Crazy was Real Influence. So now today, your book, Talking to Crazy, is the one I want to focus on. But we'll have to have you back again because we don't have an extended amount of time with you. But you've got some great books out there, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I've been blessed and humbled by the response to them. And there's sort of a trilogy with Just Listen did very well. Just Listen became the top book on listening in the world. But I can't get arrested in America or Russia because they want people to listen to them. They don't want to listen to anyone, especially entrepreneurs, who I love. But entrepreneurs are not into listening. Ask their spouses.
Well, that's true. Okay, so give us what is Talking to Crazy about? Where did that start for you?
Well, what happened in my book, Just Listen, and the subtitle was The Secret to Getting Through to Absolutely Anyone. And the idea is with a lot of people, it's not what you tell them, but what you enable them to tell you that's really important, critical, and urgent. And then you offer them a solution that they never would have come up with, and they bond to you. So it's not rocket scientists to do that. But there's one chapter in Just Listen called Steering Clear of Toxic People.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another chapter on how to go from OF, we'll call that fudge, to OK. And it's a way to talk yourself down from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 4, because if you escalate with people, you'll just make more of a mess. But there was more interest in that, dealing with these people that drive us crazy. Talking to Crazy is about dealing with the people that drive us crazy and exhaust us, and it's a way to deal with them. And, you know, some of my training is I am a former FBI police hostage negotiation trainer, so I know a little bit about this.
I love that.
Yeah, and then I was a shrink in kind of violence and suicide and one minor tangent, people say, so how come you're in the business world? Well, I used to do house calls to dying patients and their families, and some of them were founders. And within hours, I'd get them all on the same page. Now, I had the leverage because, sadly, you know, the founder was dying in the other room. And the next generation would say, can you come and work with our company? Because you've done things in hours that we never did. And I said, well, I'm a shrink. I deal with grudge holding, backstabbing, throwing people under the bus. You got any of that? And they said, that's all we have.
I love it. And you know what? The more family members there are inside of a small business, the more of that you're going to have, too. And we've got a lot of founders and entrepreneurs listening to this show and business people. Hang with us. We'll take a little break. We'll come back with Dr. Mark Goulston. Again, acclaimed psychiatrist. Crisis counselor, best-selling author, and his book, Talking to Crazy. And we have a lot of that in business, don't we? You're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, check out Inc.com. You can find all of our radio podcasts there. This is a live broadcast, but you'll have podcasts from other shows. Just hit the radio button at Inc.com. We'll be right back. It's Inc. Radio. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
You're listening to Inc. Radio with Alan Taylor. Now, here's your host.
Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio, our show brought to you in part by Benetrends. Need funding to purchase a business? Trust the experts with over 30 years' experience in providing funding for the life of your business. Benetrends Financial. Visit Benetrends.com. So our guest right now, Dr. Mark Goulston. He is the author of the book, Talking to Crazy. And boy, did I have an experience. And I felt a little bit of post-traumatic stress afterward. I've never been yelled at like that, since I was a kid and I stole something. I believe that's how loud I got yelled at.
Well, you know, you did the right thing by remaining calm, not getting provoked, and then focusing on a solution and making it better. But the reason you felt like you had post-traumatic stress disorder is that it still got into you and did a little bit of stressful damage.
Yeah.
So talking to crazy is really, someone referred to it as a Swiss Army knife for how to deal with all these situations. So you can go into them instead of feeling like you want to avoid these people and stressed out afterwards with a sense of mastery. And I know entrepreneurs like tactics. And so in the interest of time, one of the tactics or approaches that they seem to like is what I call the FUDO approach, F-U-D-O, and what F-U-D-O stands for is what you want to pull out of people is what they're frustrated about, upset about, disappointed about. That will calm them down, and when they calm down, you want to ask them, what would be the best outcome from this? And the reason you want to start out with, you seem frustrated. What's that about? And then as opposed to you seem angry, because if you say you seem angry, they're going to feel like you're scolding them or provoking them or shaming them. But everyone admits to being frustrated. And something that I borrow from my book, Just Listen, when they say, I'm frustrated about this, there's something I call conversation deepeners. And what that means is when they use hyperbole or the intensity of their voice goes up, you say something like, say more about the awful or horrendous. So you lean into that and imagine whatever they're venting is going over your shoulders instead of between your eyes. And what will happen is as you actually, you'll be able to look them in the eye, you'll actually start to see them after they vent calm down. And then after they let some of that out, you could say, you also seem upset. So that's your way of getting them to express their anger because they have that, but you don't want to call them angry.
Right.
So you seem upset. What's that about? And they say it and use another conversation deepener. Another conversation deepener is after they say whatever they say, you go, really? And they say, oh, yeah, this thing is really messing me up and whatever. And then after that, you say, I'll bet you're disappointed about something. You're disappointed in the situation. You're disappointed in someone else. You're disappointed in me. Maybe you're even disappointed in yourself. What's that about? And so what you're going to notice is you have a sense of mastery in the conversation as opposed to a deer in the headlights of a crazy person.
Right.
And as you feel in charge of them getting things off their chest, you're going to see them start to calm down. And after you go through the FUD part, frustrated, upset, and disappointed, they're almost open to listening to reason. You can say, what is the outcome? What's the now what? Given what you just said, what's the best outcome you want? And here's where you give them a little insight about how to deal with people. But hopefully they've calmed down a little bit. You could say, let me ask you, given that outcome, do you really believe that if you approached other people the way you're approaching me, that you're going to get that outcome? I mean, do you really believe that you're going to motivate people to want to help you on this with that? I mean, you can do whatever you want, but geez, you know, I think there's a better way to do this. And you might actually be able to give them a teachable moment in that. And you get out of Dodge, and you don't have to go drink or overeat because, you know, you dealt with it in a masterful way.
You know what? I one thing I've done in my lifetime that I learned, I think, you know, probably in my 40s, because I think once you have, you know, married and have kids and things happen, and sometimes there's just no outcome that's going to make anybody happy, and you have to learn how to just, you know, just, I guess, express yourself and then forgive and forget and move on with life. And it's worked for me so many times that I just say, all right, look, this is what I'm frustrated about. Now you know. Now it's up to you to either do it again and make me angry or frustrate me again, or to, you know, change your, you know, your habits or whatever you're doing. Because, I mean, I have four kids, so you can imagine how frustrated a man I am.
Oh, yeah. But what you did right there, Alan, is you said, I'm frustrated.
Right.
Which is different than saying, you frustrate me.
Right.
You do such and such. And so when you say, I'm feeling such and such, you know, that's indisputable. I mean, I'm feeling frustrated. I mean,
right.
There's no debate with that. But a lot of times when we get triggered, we tend to cross over into you. And what you're really wanting to do is push them away, and that provokes them further.
Well, I figured the guy on the cross that said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, he was probably right. And that's where I usually leave it. Stay with us. You're listening to Inc. Radio. I think forgiveness is one of the biggest virtues that anybody can have. And you can use it in business a lot. It's Inc. Radio. We'll be right back. Don't be a wantrepreneur. If you're ready to become an entrepreneur, Benetrends Financial can help. Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies help real entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically, so you can finally purchase that business of your dreams. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends Financial, funding for the life of your business. Well, on the newsstands is Inc. magazine. It is the October issue, and it says right on the cover, the next Steve Jobs. If you haven't seen it yet, a beautiful gal named Elizabeth Holmes, who is in her 30s, she's taken her business to a $10 billion evaluation in only 12 years, in her early 30s. So also it says, eight women who could own the future. Some interesting stuff inside every issue of Inc. magazine. This is Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Joining us right now on the line is Dr. Mark Goulston. He is author of a number of books. Get Out of Your Own Way is one. Just Listen is one. And Real Influence is the third. The one we're talking about right now, because I've been doing it lately, is Talking to Crazy. I got yelled at by a crazy person the other day. It was like pretty shocking because they're a big client of mine. And I, you know, my first thought was I just need to just hang up and just basically say, you know, a couple of words I can't say on the radio, but I didn't. I kept my composure, and I think everything is going to be fine. Matter of fact, I sent a note to one of the people that were in the room when this person went off on me, and I said, so what did you think of that? And they said, we all have discussed it, you know, now that it's kind of gone by. He says, we were all very uncomfortable. These are all the employees of this other person who happened to, they all happen to love me and what we do for them. And they said it was the most uncomfortable business environment they'd ever been in. And they said, but don't worry, everything will be okay. It just needed to blow over. But anyway, Mark Goulston, everybody, Talking to Crazy is his book. Where can they find that book, Mark?
Well, it's the pub date is the 15th of October.
Oh, it's just coming out.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It'll be in bookstores, brick and mortar, October 13th in major Barnes & Noble stores. It'll be on your hardcover new releases thing. if you go to the major bookstores now and pre-order, which always helps, there's a discount now. So they do that as an incentive to get people to do that. So if you go to the major booksellers, you'll still see that, and it's coming out around the corner, and you can't miss the cover.
So also GoulstonGroup.com on the web to find out more of your book.
GoulstonGroup.com. One of our, what do we do, and this will be a whole other show, is we create Gotta Have It. So one of the other things I've been speaking about around the country and even in Canada is hacking Steve Jobs. So I figured out Steve Jobs and how do you look into the world through his eyes and create Apple. And so I've gotten some traction with that, because what I realized, if you don't create Gotta Have It in people's minds, you're creating, never mind, pass, and that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to talking to crazy, why bother with it? You know, why not just get rid of these people? Well, the problem is they're all around us, and every sane person is capable of being crazy momentarily. And if you want to get rid of all the crazy in your world, you'd have to get, you know, you have to take a chunk out of your own personality, because
right.
We're all crazy. But here's the reason to do it, is that if you're a leader, an entrepreneur, and you handle it well, the eyes of your company are on you. Because if you handle those situations in a very calm, cool, and bring it into safety, the respect that people around you will have and the sense of safety, it will so increase your power as a leader. And if you do it poorly, meaning if you avoid the conflict or you escalate, something we all need to realize, and there's another takeaway, is we're always creating flashbacks in other people, and those flashbacks control a lot of their thinking and behavior. The key is triggering good flashbacks. I coach more executive women than men, and I ask them, why do you use me? And they said, you're like the big brother I always wanted. And I said, what does that mean? And they say, you know, you're playful, you're smart, you're reverent, but you can take me into the woodshed and say, what was that about? And I'll listen to you because it's laced with love.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when I speak at women's conferences, sometimes I'm the only male speaker, and I say, this lean-in stuff is too confusing for women. Try to be the big sister that everybody always wanted, or that gifted little sister, and these women entrepreneurs, they come up to me, they say, that's a great identity, I never thought of it. And so so you're always triggering flashbacks, and you don't want to trigger a flashback of a parent who was complicit with an abusive other parent, you know, one who either avoided it or made it worse. And so you have the opportunity, if you learn how to talk to crazy, take charge of the situation and make it safe, to have people look up to you and really feel it's an honor to work under you and your company.
I'll tell you what you're talking about there is a calm confidence, and all people want to follow a person that is confident and calm, but yet still be able to have, like you said, that playful attitude and, you know, still be alive and not just be a person without personality. But there's that calm confidence and remaining calm in the tough times, you know, when everybody else is going crazy and blaming it on you. My favorite poem, by the way, Rudyard Kipling, If. And one of the things in there is, if you can remain calm when everybody else is going crazy and blaming it on you. And I would say everybody should read, just go Google If, just those two letters, IF, and it kind of describes what you just said. Dr. Mark Goulston, GoulstonGroup.com, the book, Talking to Crazy. Great advice from you today, my friend. Thank you very much.
Hey, Alan, you don't even have to buy Just Listen because you did a great job.
Okay, well, thank you. I'll tell you what, I want to read all your books. Again, you can find his books. Get Out of Your Own Way is one. Just Listen is one. And Real Influence is one, besides Talking to Crazy, which I have not been doing because I'm talking to Mr. Sanity right now. Mark Goulston, thank you again.
My pleasure. Thanks, Alan.
All right. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And if we had more love for each other, wow, what would the world be like? You're listening to Ink Radio.
Stay tuned. There is more Ink Radio after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
You're listening to Inc. Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, our next guest is a junkyard dog, which I love this, this story about recycling, TerraCycle. Tom Zaki, CEO, founder of TerraCycle. And Tom, welcome to the show. I just have to tell you that when I was 24, I bought a wrecking yard, so we are recycling brothers. How do you like that?
Oh, right on. Congratulations. Yeah. Well, I think we definitely share a lot of points of view then.
Well, you know what's funny is when I bought this wrecking yard because the owner was doing some drug trafficking, and I saw on TV he was getting thrown in jail, and I thought, well, there's a business opportunity at 24 years old. So I bought this wrecking yard. I went up there, and, of course, there the guy was. And I said, what are you doing here? I thought you went to jail. He says, well, I'm out on bail. I have to get rid of some, you know, some of this business stuff. And then I'm going in. And I was like, well, what are you going to do with this place? He says, I'm going to crush all the cars. And I said, well, what are you going to get for the crush? He says, I don't know, about $5,000. And I said, so if I give you $5,000, you're happy and I take over where you left off. So that's what happened. And the first thing I did is I went out and I bought an aluminum smelter, which melts wow. down aluminum wheels and lawn chairs yeah. And I mean, it was amazing. We were turning everything into these giant 20-pound aluminum ingots. And it was.
Right, and those have a lot more value that way, right?
Oh, my God. It's so much easier to sell, too, because, you know, then obviously. But the recycling business is a beautiful business. But you started out at 21 years old with TerraCycle. And I know that you've worked somewhat with Inc. over the years. Tell us what you've done with Inc. over the years.
Yeah, well, TerraCycle and Inc. have sort of crossed paths many, many times. We're proud to be an Inc. 500 company, which is one of the fastest 500 growing companies in the United States a number of years ago. Since yep. then, we've, I think, made the Inc. 5000 list almost every year. But it was a great honor to be on the Inc. 500, I think, once or twice.
Did I hear you were on the cover? Did you? You were so.
Yeah, in 2008, you guys did a cover story on TerraCycle,
oh
I think, 2007 or 8. That yep. was quite a turning point because, you know, we were still relatively small at the time, I think around 3 million in sales, and getting that type of national attention was truly quite something. And since then, we've appeared in various articles here and there, but the Inc. cover story was a landmark event for us.
That's awesome, man. Well, so now tell us a little bit about TerraCycle, and then I have a whole bunch of questions for, you know, how you run your business and what you've learned along these years.
Absolutely. Well, TerraCycle, sort of to give you the sense of it, we're 12 years old as a business. It was one of those college, you know, dormitory startup, you know, where I left school early to run with the company. We're now about 125 employees, and we operate in 21 countries around the world. And our, you know, revenue-wise this year will be a little bit over $20 million to give a sense of that scale as well.
Wow.
The essence of what TerraCycle does is we make those things that are not recyclable recyclable. So you mentioned aluminum. Aluminum is highly recyclable because it's valuable. After the cost of collecting it and processing it, you can still make a profit by selling the aluminum. And that equation, profitable recycling, holds true for paper, glass, aluminum, rigid PET, which is like a soda bottle, and rigid HDPE, which is like a fabric care container, like a Tide bottle. But everything else, more or less, falls into the non-recyclable category, not because it can't be recycled, but because it costs more to collect and process than it's worth. And that's where TerraCycle gets involved. We make things that are non-recyclable recyclable by working with stakeholders like big consumer product companies like Colgate, Garnier, you know, Maltomil, Post, and others, all the way to big retailers like Staples, Target, Kiehl's Boutiques, and so on, even cities, individuals, even factories, to get funding to make things that are non-recyclable recyclable. And that's the entire essence of what we do. And by the way, we even have our own TV show called Human Resources that airs on Pivot. You can tune in and see exactly what Life at TerraCycle is all about and how we do all this.
Well, I just was handed the issue of the magazine, Inc. Magazine, The Coolest Little Startup in America.
Let's see. Right.
Meet TerraCycle, the ultimate growth company built on garbage run by a kid. I love that. Oh, that is so great.
That was quite something. Yeah, it was amazing. Bo Burlingham was the author on that story, and we got to know each other quite well. We're still good friends. And so he came down and spent a number of days with us. I mean, back then, geez, we had a huge army of interns. I actually bought a house in Trenton to house all the interns in. We even had two pregnancies that year. I ended up selling the house once it got shot up by a rivaling gang. I came home and there was like 12 bullet holes in my window one day. But it was a lot of learning, a lot of amazing experience, and it's why we're here today.
Unbelievable. Now, but hold on a second. Cigarette butts? How do you recycle cigarette butts? Because, I mean, you have figured out how to recycle everything.
Basically right. Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing on, the technical solution to cigarette butts, which we invented about 3 years ago, is that you shred them, separate the organic pieces, the ash, tobacco, and paper, and compost that, and take the filter, which is made from cellulose acetate, and make that into a plastic. Cellulose acetate, by the way, is the same plastic that makes up a pair of plastic eyeglasses, the frames of plastic
right.
eyewear. And so that's the technical solution. But the hard part is that it costs more to collect and process cigarettes than it's worth. So the way we were able to create national cigarette recycling programs, which we now run, by the way, in 12 countries around the world, is by getting funding from major tobacco companies. So here in the U.S., American Spirit funds our program. We're in Canada, Canada's largest tobacco company does. And we also, in addition on cigarette recycling, get funding from cities. So cities like the city of New Orleans, city of Vancouver, city of St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and even international cities like Melbourne, Sydney, and others fund citywide TerraCycle cigarette recycling programs. So if you happen to be in New Orleans or St. Louis or a number of other U.S. cities, you'll see little collection points throughout the city where you can put your cigarettes, and then instead of them being thrown out, they're going to be recycled. And there, that one is funded by the city. So in every case, the trick to it really is, of course, you need the science, but then you need to find someone who's going to pay the bill and do so, you know, happily so that the programs can grow and be stable.
And and now a TV show, and you're in your second season. It's like my dad would say you have chutzpah. And it's
thank you. I think that is a big compliment. You know, one of the things, and especially I'll say this because of, you know, the unique premise of Inc. magazine, you know, really for entrepreneurs and small business owners, is that one of TerraCycle's premises, and this has nothing to do with garbage, in marketing, is this idea of negative cost marketing. Actually, my fourth book, and we've written three already, which is also a derivative of negative cost marketing, is going to be called negative cost marketing. And basically how it works is the theory of negative cost marketing is, why pay to be the advertising when you can get paid to be the content? And this is something really, you know, important for small business owners to look at, because small business owners have a very hard time competing with the big guys on just sheer advertising dollars. So what we do to do this is we try to generate as much publicity as possible. Now, that's not yet negative cost marketing, because there's cost there, you know, PR people and so on. But then once you start getting written about multiple times, Inc. Magazine is a good example. We called you guys and said, can we blog for Inc. Magazine? And we did that. And so that's a great way. You don't get paid necessarily, although some blogs pay. Or you can place content without necessarily having to go pitch journalists and go through the process.
Right.
But once you start blogging, the next step is do books. You know, we've written three books. Every book has generated over $50,000 in revenue, just the sheer, you know, advance. And then it's a big, you know, marketing piece. If you read, you know, Revolution in a Bottle, one of our first books, or Outsmart Waste, our second book, or even just now a book came out called Make Garbage Great with HarperCollins about 2 months ago. These are all books that generated revenue and are big marketing pieces in the end. They're great books as well. And
I love
the TV
it.
Show is the very best example of that. You know, we work with a network called Pivot, which is an amazing network, and they buy the show, generate some revenue for TerraCycle, and then we can get our content out there, and it airs all over the world, and it's a great way to think about looking at content generation differently.
I love it, man. I love it. Inc. Magazine, he was on the cover, the coolest little startup in America. The company is TerraCycle. We're talking with Tom Sackey. He is the CEO and founder. We're going to learn what he's learned. It's kind of like, where are they now? Once you're on the cover of Inc. Magazine, 5, 6, 7 years goes by. What has it done for you? What are you going to do with it next? You're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
Yeah, humor me and tell me. Stay tuned. There is more Inc. Radio after these words from our sponsors.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
listening to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. We're talking with Tom Sackey. He is the founder of TerraCycle, founder and CEO. TerraCycle, a recycling company that's been on the news, has been on Jay Leno, has been on Oprah. This guy's been everywhere, including on the cover of Ink magazine. And he's in his office there at TerraCycle. Where are you guys, in New Jersey, Tom?
Yeah, we're in Trenton, New Jersey. That's where we're headquartered. And ever since initially we started in Princeton, which is where I was going to school. That was our first office, and then Trenton, and ever since then here.
Is there a lot more trash there than the normal part of the world? Is that what it is?
No. I mean, we're a national business, so it's not necessarily that it's garbage is what attracted us here. Trenton is very close to Princeton, so I was looking at something nearby. And it's an inner city, so it really fulfills a lot of our social goals. And it's also being an inner city, it also makes things a little bit more affordable to be able to operate in.
I love a man who says he's attracted by garbage. That's a wonderful thing. But in the recycling business, it's perfect, right? So tell us.
It is. You got to chase waste, right?
Yeah, right. Tell us now, along the way, you've been 12 years. You started out at 21, young man, and now you're in, you said, 21 countries around the world, going to do about $20 million this year. What have you learned along the way? What are some of the big lessons that you've learned?
Well, I think, some of the really big ones are you have to be flexible with your business model, especially if you have a business model that is totally new. In other words, there aren't other examples that you can look at for what happens, how does it trend, and so on. And, TerraCycle started as a consumer product company wanting to make products out of garbage. When Ink first wrote about us, we were basically taking organic waste, feeding it to worms, putting that in new soda bottles, and selling it still as a consumer product company, even though it's highly innovative. And we realized over time that we have to really listen to what the market says and aggressively evolve our business model. I think aggressive evolution is really important. And so, as we grew, about 6 years into the business, we shifted. And instead of focusing the business question on what type of product do we want to make and then taking the very best garbage for it, we take any type of garbage, and that's how we could get into things like cigarette butts or used diapers or chewing gum, and figuring out how do we create a collection process and a solution process that makes business sense. And then our product effectively became our output. Another really important learning during the process was if you're a disruptive company and looking for fast growth, focus only on what you know best and what's unique to you, and outsource absolutely everything else. And so as an example for us, we used to make everything, had 300 workers in a factory, and today everything is outsourced, and it allowed us to grow and be much more faster and be significantly more nimble.
Well, it's all good advice. I mean, I'm learning some of that myself along the way too. I love that you have this TV show, that you're becoming the media a little bit. Again, you can find more about his TV show at Pivot, PIVOT.TV, and you can see more about Tom at TerraCycle.com. And I can't wait to see this TV show because I happen to like recycling. Listen, when I remodeled my house, I put in a recycling bin so we could, do a little bit of recycling, do our part in the world, I think people naturally are looking at, we should be doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, there's a number of things to do when you're looking at recycling just as a consumer. The first is look up what is recyclable municipally and do that properly. The second is take part with TerraCycle. Go to TerraCycle's website. There's a lot of free programs that are funded by major consumer product companies or retailers. And there's also some paid versions depending, what's out there, what type of garbage you want to see recycled. And then the most important thing, though, is look at how you buy, because really what leads to the garbage problem is buying too much stuff that we don't use. And I think if we really looked at how to buy differently, we can really solve a lot of the garbage problems before they even become issues.
Yeah, no question. The TV show is called Human Resources, and it's on Pivot TV. I invite you guys to watch it. I'm going to go watch it myself. Last question, Human Resources is the name of your show. How best do you deal with your human resources you have there at work? I mean, it's not the easiest job to teach people, what's good and what's trash, right?
No, absolutely. Human resources is a critical aspect of any function, of any job. And, especially in a young company that has to evolve from having no HR to having robust HR, the biggest thing I've learned as a lesson is you have to assume that even though you try to keep everything secret, like salaries and so on, everything will be transparent at some point in the other. I call it the photocopy principle, which is just imagine if your head of HR left, the entire salary sheet in the photocopier and forgot it there.
right.
And if you assume that, you're going to come up with a really good HR policy. We really try to make everything very mathematical, very transparent, make very few exceptions so that people feel fairness. And I think that's very, very important versus trying to treat everyone as a unique case.
That's awesome. Good advice from one of our cover stories way back in around 2006-7, sometime there. Tom Zaki, he is founder and CEO of TerraCycle. TerraCycle.com, again, the TV show now, Human Resources on Pivot TV. Tom, thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Love these kind of stories. Love recycling, too. This is Ink Radio. We'll be right back.
It's a whiskey drink. It's a vodka drink. It's a lager drink. It's a cider drink.
Introducing the Craftsman Bolt-On Reciprocating Saw. This saw attachment comes with a 6-inch general-purpose blade and delivers enough power to cut through a variety of materials like drywall, PVC, and even small tree branches. The reciprocating saw attachment transforms the bolt-on base into a portable and versatile cutting beast. Tool-free blade changes make switching out accessory blades easier than ever. Construct your Craftsman Bolt-On system today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, you're listening to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. We're talking to some dudes today that have TV shows, and they're doing what they love to do. We just talked to the gentleman that loves trash. You gotta love that. I mean, $20 million a year in cigarette butts and old sunglasses and recycled junk just shows you can make a business out of anything. Now to the new highly adrenaline-rushed series on sci-fi called, you ready for this one? The Bazillion Dollar Club. And we have now Dave McClure and Brady Forrest on the line. Let's start out with Dave. Dave, tell us about, first of all, sci-fi. This isn't science fiction. What's going on there with sci-fi before we get going into the rest of it? The Bazillion Dollar Club.
Well, we're trying to make, I guess, what people think are science fiction into reality, but really we just want to hang out with a bunch of nerds who like our stuff.
Okay, fair enough. So, Brady Forrest, tell us about the Bazillion Dollar Club. What's the premise here?
Well, we follow six teams as they go through our accelerator programs. Three of these high-tech startups are doing software, and three of them are doing hardware. And in each episode, we follow them from day one of the program all through demo day. Each of them are trying to raise some amount of financing so that they can keep building their company, their product, their team.
So, you know, it's funny to see what's happened, I guess, in the marketplace of TV shows like this, because I remember when Shark Tank was just a little TV show, and now it's just, you know, it is the Bazillion Dollar Club, you might say, with the guys that are doing it and the gals as well. But it has really opened doors for guys like yourselves and guys like the last guy that was on, Tom, who, I mean, there wouldn't have been nearly the chance to have these TV shows about business, about startups, had the guys at Shark Tank not, you know, kind of forged this path. It's interesting for us. I'm an entrepreneur. It's interesting to watch. It's interesting to see how the negotiations come on. So they call this a high adrenaline new series. So obviously, is it the first episode of the new season, or is it the first episode, period, just aired this week?
That was
the first episode. It just came out.
Okay, so the very first episode, and you guys, whoever missed it, it's Sci-Fi Channel, but what time of the day and all the rest?
It's 10 p.m. every Tuesday.
Okay, there you go.
On September 22nd.
Okay, excellent. So every Tuesday, 10 p.m., look at your listings across America, the Bazillion Dollar Club. The hosts are on with us right now, Dave McClure and Brady Forrest. I'm personally very happy for you guys. It sounds to me, and it looks by, I watched the trailer, I just got the notice on this. I was like, yeah, dang it. I wish I could have watched that first episode, but it looks like a combination of a little bit of Shark Tank, a little bit of How It's Made, and a little bit of just fun and kind of rock and roll, because you guys look like you're having fun. And I think this is going to be very successful. If it is, you know, do you think it'll change your lives? Let's go back to you, Dave.
Well, I don't know if it's going to change my life being on TV. It's certainly been changing my life trying to invest in companies and make money for our investors. But, you know, I think it'd be great if we got a chance to be in everybody's sort of living room and they could get a more up-close view of what it takes to build the American dream, what it takes to build a high-tech startup.
Right. And none of it's easy. You put your blood, sweat, and tears. And how about you, Brady? You think it'll change your life?
I'm hoping that it gets me higher quality companies in the Highway 1.
There
and
you
I want to,
yeah.
like, I think it'll raise our pedigree, and I think it'll help the companies in our portfolio. So from that perspective, yeah.
Now, let's go to making a TV show. So you guys are now stepping out of what you do in this realm, I guess you might say, to something that is completely a different animal. Because in the world of TV, the old hurry up and wait is what they say, because everything takes so much longer. But it seems like your show is very real. It's just happening while it happens. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're trying to follow the arc of the companies as they go from start to finish. So it's about 3 months, maybe 13 weeks. But, you know, they face challenges in trying to figure out how to build their product and how to get customers and particularly how to raise money. You know, we're hoping to help each of those companies raise $500,000 to $1 million on their demo day whenever they graduate from my programs.
It sounds like you guys are going to have fun. The TV show, The Bazillion Dollar Club. Tech startup experts Dave McClure and Brady Forrest search for the next big innovation in sci-fi's high-stakes docuseries. Now go out and pick up an issue of Inc. magazine, available at newsstands everywhere, or visit our website. It's real simple, threeletters.com. So it's INC.com. It doesn't get any easier than that. You will find an amazing amount of resources to help you in your business. Videos, more of this radio show. There's a tab for radio, and lots of great articles from entrepreneurs and business people just like you. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.